Well, I'm a big fan of a good commercial. I feel like a good commercial requires a lot of skill and creativity because you have to convey a lot of information in a short amount of time. I saw one recently that starts off with showing you a mom sitting on a couch enjoying a cup of coffee. And this coffee must have been amazing because this mom looks so at peace with life. She's sitting there, her eyes are shut, she has this amazing smile of just rest on her face, and it's as if she's at the spa, or she's getting a foot massage, or something really great is happening. But as the screen begins to pan out, and you get a picture of the living room, you see that peace is not what she's in, but utter chaos. Her living room is a complete nightmare. There are toys all over the place, food and fingerprints all over the furniture. Two of her kids are behind her to the left, fighting each other. One's pulling one's hair, one's biting the arm of the other. In front of her to the right, the family dog is peeing on the carpet. And not only peeing, but he's looking at the owner while doing it. And then in front to the left, a toddler has a crayon and is drawing on the TV. And yet, in this crazy tornado-like environment, the mom just sits there, utterly content with this cup of coffee. Now, I'm sure that maybe there is a cup of coffee that's out there that's as good and can do the trick for you if that's kind of picture is a good picture of your life. But it got me thinking, is that possible? Is it possible to be that at ease and that content with life when there's so much going on around you? Is it possible to live with that sense of serenity, even though there's chaos in your world? Well, this morning we're going to look at how the story of Christmas is really a gift, as we've been hearing about these last number of weeks. And this morning we're going to learn about how the story of Christmas is a gift of peace to us. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And as this is the final Sunday of Advent, as we've mentioned, Advent is the season of waiting, where we just wait for Christmas to show up. Christmas is a celebration for us. It's a time where we anticipate the coming of Christ. And every year we do this with this expectation and this hope that this is going to be another year to remember this great story. And in this passage we've been exploring these last few weeks, it features the people of God who are in a pretty chaotic situation themselves. They find themselves surrounded by enemy nations, and their very livelihood is in jeopardy. They're unsure whether the surrounding nations will invade and kill or even subjugate them. And so there's this day-to-day feeling of what will tomorrow look like. And so it's with that background that we pick up Isaiah's words. In Isaiah 9, starting in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And then down to verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Let's pray. God, you know that on all of our hearts and minds, there are a million things going on. And so I just pray for these next few moments that you would quiet our souls and help us to be attentive to how your spirit might be speaking us this morning through your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So over the last number of weeks, we've looked at these different names or titles that are given to Jesus, to this long-awaited Christ child. And we've explored how Jesus is our wonderful counselor, how he is our everlasting Father, our mighty God. And today we're going to look at how he is our Prince of Peace. And we're going to do that by going through two movements. We're going to look at first our world as is, the current state of our life and of our world. And then secondly, we're going to look at what does a world with peace actually look like? Let's start with that first one of our world as is. If you pick up a paper or you scroll through your feed today or you watch the news, if you still watch the news, you're likely to hear a story or two of violence or war happening somewhere in the world. We live in a world that just seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker. That's one of the reasons why I have a hard time watching the news, because within seconds I just feel weighted down by all of the stuff that's happening in our world. And world peace is something that we've been striving for a very long time. And it's something that doesn't seem to quite, something that hasn't seemed to arrive quite yet. So much so that when a beauty pageant contestant is asked what will make the world a better place, her response of world peace is almost comical. It's almost laughable because it's become such a cliche phrase that we use that I think we wonder sometimes if it's ever really possible. And chaos and our world, it's not just our world that's filled with chaos, but we can feel an inner sense of chaos if we look deep into our own hearts and into our lives. If we look at some of our expectations of how our life has turned out, we can feel a sense of anxiety or restlessness or discontent as we look at our life. Maybe your life hasn't panned out the way you thought it would be. Maybe you're not at the point of your career where you thought you'd be at this point in your life. And we can begin to feel this sort of inner chaos within us. And especially as we're 2 days away from Christmas, Christmas is an amazing season. It's one of my favorites. But the problem with Christmas is portrayed as this perfect season, right? There's bright lights, there's happy Christmas music, there's amazing family Christmas cards and eggnog lattes and all the good stuff that goes with Christmas. And it gives off this impression that our world is sometimes perfect. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get into Christmas and I just realize how imperfect my own life or our world really is. And Christmas can be a season that can highlight a lot of those imperfections and can heighten those feelings of anxiety and discontentment. And so while the people in Isaiah's time, the people that he's writing to, while their circumstances were far different than anything we are experiencing, there's no question that we can resonate with their emotions and with their feelings. We all know what it's like to feel uncertain about the future, to feel uncertain about what tomorrow will look like. We all know what it's like to feel fear, genuine fear of a certain situation and feeling helpless to do anything about it. And that we've all maybe felt anxiety, being up at night, just wondering how you'll solve whatever situation you might be facing. And it's to these people and to us that Isaiah says, hope is coming. A savior, a rescuer is coming. And he will be called the Prince of Peace. And peace in a word that can describe safety, rest, and harmony. It's a word that's often used to describe the perfection when God first created the world. When you look in Genesis chapter 2, you see the Garden of Eden, and it's this perfectly structured world that God has created, absent from violence, absent from chaos. And at the center of this loving, peaceful, perfect world is a harmonious relationship between God and his people. But just a few chapters later, in Genesis 4, things are completely different than the beginning. In Genesis 4, we witness the first homicide, two brothers fighting, and out of jealousy, one kills the other. The first act of human violence, a small picture of what our world would continue to experience. How do we move from peace and serenity and contentment with God to utter violence? Well, you find your answer right in the middle in Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is the turning point for our lives. It's the point where people decide that an autonomous life apart from God is better. That a life where we are in control and God is distant is far better. And we see throughout the story of Scripture and throughout the story of history how that is not actually a good thing. My wife Amber and I are very different people. If you know us, you would agree with that statement 100%. And a few weeks ago, we were having a family outing as we were trying to take our kids to Granville Island just for a morning of fun. And as we were getting ready to leave, I kept looking at my I don't wear a watch. I kept looking at my phone and saying, "Man, let's get a move on. Let's move." I like to just kind of wake up and get going with the day. Amber likes to be a little bit more prepared than I do. She was packing the bag and, you know, getting everything ready, like getting gloves and jackets and toques and sunscreen, and what, and she's just prepared for all circumstances. And I started to get frustrated and started to say, let's just go. We don't need all of this stuff. And she started to get frustrated with me saying, why are you rushing? We have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to be at a certain time. Let me just do this. And it started to turn into this little fight that we were having as we were walking out the door. And of course, it ruined our entire family day. We left, and although we went to Granville Island and we did some fun stuff with our kids, I don't really remember any of it. Because the entire day was kind of clouded by this argument that we had had. Even as we were driving to Granville Island, we were sitting side by side, but it felt like we were just miles apart with this cold, kind of icy distance between us. And not only did it affect our relationship, but even it affected how we connected with our kids. I was a lot less patient with our kids. I was quick to get angry, and I was not at all present with them. And it wasn't until later on that evening that when we were able to talk about it and reconcile that, we started to feel better about it all, and it got better. And if you've been in any type of relationship or any contact with a human being and you know what it's like to have a fight with a person, you know that feeling. You know how a fractured relationship can have a ripple effect in your life and how it can affect how you work and how you interact with other people. And the same is true with our relationship with God. As people, as we break the primary relationship that holds all other relationships to God, we see the ripple effect of its consequences. We see how it negatively affects our own lives and those around us. And so we can find ourselves in this space, like the people of God, wondering, what's going to change? What needs to shift in order for our world to get better? What needs to happen in order for peace to be realized? As one pastor put it this way, when he says, the reason that we know and feel disharmony in our world today is because it is directly tied to the disharmony that we have with God. One of the reasons that we know and can understand some sense of our world not being set right is it's a representation of our own heart sometimes in connection to God. And so we can find ourselves like the people of God, walking in darkness, wondering what will change. But Isaiah gives good news. In verse 2, he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah takes everyone's eyes and points it to this great light, points it to this rescuer, points it to the one who will bring about God's peace plan for the world, which leads to our second movement of a world with peace. What does a world with peace look like? Well, earlier this year, if you were one of the 1.9 billion people who tuned into the royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, you would know that it was an amazing wedding, an extravagant wedding that most of the world paused to tune into. And while we don't live in a world where kings and queens rule over nations, there's something still fascinating about monarchies. There's something interesting about a time when royal leaders had real power and influence over a nation. And if Prince Harry had been living in ancient times, his title, his position, would have had far more significance to the people of the day. You see, a prince was a sign of future hope. A prince was someone that the people could rally behind and say, you're the one I'm banking on. You're the one that I'm putting all of my trust and all of my security in. My well-being and my family's well-being is going to be in your care. And the prince of peace, the prince that we're told we can look to, that Isaiah says that we can put our hope and our trust in, is a child. He says, for unto you a child will be born, and he will be called Prince of Peace. And on the day of Jesus' birth, on the day that he was born, an angel appeared to some shepherds in a field. And the angel announced peace over the shepherds and said these words in Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel announces that the child that Isaiah talked about, the one whom Isaiah wrote about many, many years ago, has now arrived. That the long-awaited Savior, the long-awaited Prince of Peace, has come in this Christ child. And right from the beginning, we see God's peace plan, and God's plan for peace is different than any other plan our world has ever seen. If you look at history, people have thought that if we just had a strong enough military, or if we just had better policy, or just the right leader, then peace would be realized. And the Christmas story tells us that God's way of bringing about peace is the complete opposite. He comes in the form of a vulnerable, fragile little baby. And he comes not to impose his peace over us, but to allow his peace to come and grow from deep within us. His plan of bringing about peace is completely different. And you see this as Jesus grows, as he begins his adult ministry. You get a small glimpse of what real peace can look like. As Jesus began his ministry, he started to heal people and to bring feed people who were hungry. And you got a small glimpse of what a relationship with God could look like, what true peace could look like. But Christ's ultimate work of peace was done on the cross. As Colossians 1:19 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." God's peace plan is completely different and completely counterintuitive, and that he enters into our world as a vulnerable little baby, and his ultimate plan for bringing about peace in our lives is dying on a cross. By taking on the sin that we produce in our world and taking on all of the stuff that is broken with our world and taking it upon himself to the cross. And it's through his blood that peace is made in our world. And not only does Christ restore and offer forgiveness and grace, but it's through his death and his resurrection that the relationship with God is now restored for you and me. It's now possible for us to once again walk with God as we once did back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, that a relationship with God is now made possible again. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I just wish I had someone to journey with me through some dark stuff. And the amazing story of the gospel is that God desires to journey with us, that we have befriended someone who is more in control of all of our stuff than we ever could be. And he desires to be there with us. As Christmas is a few days away, I'll be spending part of Christmas with my family, with my parents and my siblings. And my relationship with my family is one that's always been difficult. And I always dread going to spend time with my family. Mainly because a lot of them, each and every one of them, is dealing with some major big stuff in their life. Addictions, legal battles, and mental health issues. And their stuff is so big that when I spend time with them, I feel the weight of it. I just get bombarded and I just feel helpless because I love them and I genuinely want to see them do well. But over the last year, as I've been praying for them and praying with them, God has changed my perspective. See, I used to just pray, "God, can you just make my family normal? Can you just take all the stuff away and make us just be a functioning family?" And I've realized that over the last year, God has shown me that in the midst of a chaotic life, in the midst of what seems like impossible situation, he is very much present. And my prayer has shifted to be, "God, will you show me where you are in this? God, there's chaos all around me, but will you show me where you are? Because I need something to hang on to. I need something to carry me through this difficult season." The Christmas story tells us that peace can be found within. That God doesn't come and just abolish and come and impose his peace over people, but he works from within. And it's from within our broken world that he brings about his great news of peace. If you've ever been on a boat and on the ocean while a storm is happening, you know that an ocean storm is extremely dangerous. Or if you've seen the show Deadliest Catch, it's a great show, by the way. And it kind of depicts really, really well how powerful ocean storms are. They're extremely violent, unpredictable, and can actually, you know, capsize a boat instantly. But researchers show that have said that below what seems like a chaotic storm is this part of the ocean called the cushion of the sea. It's a part that has plant and animal life that seems to be undisturbed from all of the chaos on the top. So much so that they found animal and plant life that seems to not have been disturbed for over hundreds of years. And as one pastor came across this cushion of the sea idea, he wrote and he put it this way about our spiritual life. He said, even while the most chaotic storm rages in our life, receiving the gift of Christ provides an eternal calm which lies far too deep down to be reached by any external disturbance. I don't know what storm you might be facing right now. I don't know what chaos is in your world. Maybe it's something big, maybe it's something just small in terms of just getting away from the business of life. But the gift of Christmas for each of us is that Christ comes and desires to offer his peace to us. He desires to dwell deep within our hearts and to give us this contentment where we can not just pretend like our problems don't exist, but we can know that we're okay because we're in our Creator's arms. The song we just sang a few minutes ago, It Is Well With My Soul, was written by a man named Horatio Spafford. And Spafford wrote this song after coming across a number of tragic events in his life. The first was the death of his 2-year-old son, who passed away from an illness. And sometime later, as his family and him were planning a trip to Europe, they were planning to travel from North America to Europe by going across the Atlantic. He unexpectedly got called onto some business at the last minute, and so he decided to send his wife and his 4 daughters ahead of him. And as they were traveling across the Atlantic, their boat sank, and his 4 daughters were killed. And sometime later, as Horatio and his wife were passing through that same Atlantic on a boat, it's there that he penned the words that we just sang. This verse: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. There's an incredible peace from being reconciled with God, and that knowing that he journeys with us and whatever deep darkness you might be dealing with. The story of Christmas and the gift of Christmas is that God doesn't abandon us in our darkness. He doesn't abandon us in our storms, but he enters into it and he journeys into it to be with us, to be near to us, and to hold us as we continue to experience it. My prayer for you is that Christmas wouldn't just be something that is an annual event that you celebrate, but you would actually realize that this text, that you would replace the words us and just say me. For me, a child is given. And that this would be a personal encounter, that you realize that the God of the universe came into our world to be close to you, to be near to you in your deepest, darkest moments. And he offers you his peace this Christmas, a peace that can allow you to journey through any storm. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you don't leave us alone, that even in a world and our lives that are filled with chaos, that you come. And at this Christmas time, we remember the goodness of the gift of peace. And this Christmas, would we experience you entering our lives once again? Would we find comfort knowing that the Prince of Peace, the God of the universe, the maker of the heavens of the earth, is with us? And would that truth and that knowledge bury itself deep down in our heart? And would it carry us through the worst imaginable storms? We pray in Christ's name. Amen.